Open and Mayor Ken Patton. I want to welcome all of you here tonight. Mayor sends his regrets that he's unable to be here. He had a prior engagement that he had to take care of. So on behalf of that, thank you for being here again. And I want to turn this over to our chairman, Mr. Bob Gardner. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Bob Gardner. I am the chair of the newly formed Friends of Big Creek. You may or may not be aware, we had kind of put this group together within the last several months, but it's actually been conceived and there's been attempts to form such a group for a number of years. I'll talk briefly about how our group was formed and where we stand today, what our vision, our mission is. Early on, years ago, there through the Cuyahoga River RAP, Jan Ripka is now the district administrator for the Cuyahoga Soil and Conservation District. It had efforts to bring the communities together for cleanups in the Big Creek area. You may be familiar with that, particularly in the western tributary of the Big Creek. More recently, through actually initiated through former Councilwoman Meryl Gordon, Ward 15, she conceived the Lower Big Creek Study had become a reality in recent years under the leadership of NOAACA's Director of Environmental Planning, John Beaker. Next month, we plan to have a meeting that will go into the Lower Big Creek Study and some of the development that has spun off and some of the studies that have come out of that. We'll look at the Greenway connection in that area from the Ohio Erie Canal Reservation to the Metro Park Zoo. Our group was formed for a number of reasons. One was primarily to support those efforts. As opposed, you might be familiar with the West Creek Preservation Committee and their efforts to bring awareness and to preserve that green space and eventually connect that to the towpath trail. That was undertaken and started by mostly community citizens that were really dedicated to that effort, and then they later brought in the cities and the different planning agencies. In the Lower Big Creek area, it's a little reverse. You know, we have a strong presence from the public officials and the planning agencies, and our group was formed in part to bring a community component to support those efforts. The other part of our formation was due to that within the city of Brooklyn, countywide, regionally, there's been an effort to look at regional trail connections as a draw for, you know, nationally. I mean, this is where people want to go, is where they can have access to such trails and the amenities, green space. So there was this this bigger vision through the county and other agencies to maybe look at, well, connecting the Big Creek Parkway westward from the zoo through the city of Brooklyn and connecting to the Big Creek or the Brook Park Road. We were happy to find that the mayor of the city of Brooklyn, I talked to him before starting our organization, that he would get behind, support our organization, that larger vision. And we have two council persons on our steering committee now, and Regis, who just spoke, is the chair of the Brooklyn Board of Zoning Appeals. There's also the bigger environmental concerns. The Ohio EPA, the Cuyahoga River RAP Remedial Action Plan are looking to support watershed groups. There's others such as for Tinkers Creek, West Creek, Euclid Creek, you may be familiar. So that's another aspect of our organization, concerns about watershed issues and trying to focus awareness of the environmental impacts to the stream and the watershed that were raised earlier on through, like I said, with Janine Ripka and other groups such as Bel Air Puritas Development Corporation. So we're looking also to look into the watershed, including the cities of Parma, Parma Heights, Brook Park, and North Royalton. So what is our mission? Basically, what we have so far is to conserve, improve, and enhance the natural, recreational, and economic resources of Big Creek and its watershed. What we want to do is, like, as I said, connect those greenways, improve the conditions of Big Creek and the natural environment throughout the watershed, improve the accessibility from the western suburb, western wards of City of Cleveland, Brooklyn, Parma, so that when you come through that Big Creek Reservation, you don't turn around and go back south. You can access the Cascade Crossing area where you have retail and restaurants, and then go on to the Memphis Park, and then eventually to the Towpath Trail, and then in reverse. Think of what it would do to this region and this area, what we call Brooklyn, Old Brooklyn, City of Brooklyn. It would really put us on the map in a whole different context that has been previously known. We'll see similar development and interest in our area that we see with the Big Creek area, with the Towpath Trail alignment now. Now, to talk further about these visions and of connecting green space, we asked Paul Sinas, the director of the County Planning Commission, to do a presentation on the green space plan. And they have, you'll see the map back there later, the actual green print. Paul will speak more about the importance of green space, maybe a little bit of history of the green prints, the greenway plans in the city of Cleveland area, greater Cleveland area. I've known Paul for several years. We served together on the Cleveland Interbelt Scoping Committee. He's been someone that I've been able to turn to for different insight on different issues before I move forward. I'm proud to know him, and I think we're lucky to have him with for our county and as a director of the County Planning Commission. After Paul's presentation, we'll have questions and answers related to his presentation, and maybe others that you might have about our group or the Greenway, Big Creek Greenway through the city of Brooklyn, or any other related environmental issues. So without further ado, Paul.
Thanks, Bob. Can everyone hear me? I have to be pretty close to the computer here to run the show. So, if I'm heard in the back, or
I think that'll reach.
Will that reach? Oh, that'll reach all the way across.
Oops. Except I might not reach. And I hopefully, as I stand here, that I'm not standing too much in the way. I'll keep trying to move around so the folks that are sitting over here can see the screen. Well, thanks for the invitation. I really mean it. This is really important work that's happening here, along with other places throughout Cuyahoga County. So I'm thrilled to be able to be here and talk about something that we're very passionate about at the county level, which is some of the broader green space issues. And then I do want to talk a little bit specifically about the Big Creek watershed and some of the insights that might be derived from thinking about the context of the creek. I'm not going to get into a lot of technical stuff tonight, but I want to maybe paint some pictures and give folks a sense of the larger picture in which the residents, the businesses, those that inhabit or work or have activities in this watershed, the implications of this watershed in relation to the larger geography. So as we look at the cover slide here, I was thinking about that a moment ago as Bob was speaking, and you probably should be called the fiends of Big Creek, you know, and like you're really committed to this, like you're going to be very aggressive about it. So happy to be with the friends of Big Creek tonight. With apologies to those that in the room, and I see some colleagues of mine in the room on this side of the table, I'm surprised they're not sitting closer to the door so they can escape at some point during this presentation. With apologies to Marie and George and Jim and others, who may have seen parts or all of parts of this presentation before, bear with me for a few minutes. But for the larger audience, let's begin with the words that are the headline of the slide, which is that Cuyahoga County is at an important point in its history. We know the Plain Dealer and lots of other folks, the civic infrastructure, the community has been thinking about the quiet crisis. And somehow, you know, we were doing well, and then we're in decline, and really aren't sure which way we're going to go and what our future is as a community. There's a lot of navel gazing, so to speak, around lots of issues of who we are as a community. And a fundamental part of trying to figure out what that future will be is to establish a vision for the role that nature must have in the life of our community and a real plan to accomplish that vision that nature must have in the life of our community. So about 4 years ago now, a task force was put together to try to achieve these objectives. And that task force was made up of folks throughout the county. It was initially chaired by now Mayor Campbell, then County Commissioner Campbell. and a group of well over 50 people, but throughout the process we engaged literally hundreds of people. We had 14 major meetings throughout Cuyahoga County, and I hope some of the folks in the room had a chance to be a part of that plan preparation process. But we really are about engaging the public to address these objectives. And I'm not going to read them on the screen. As you look at them, you might be able to say that what else is important that's not on this list. County's vision for the role that nature must play, all of ours vision role that nature must play, addresses everything that's important to our economic future. And what I like is that last bullet, our environmental and human health. It literally is about everything that matters to us, our children, and everyone that's working or living in this community. And so, to shape that vision, we wanted to talk about some particular components of that. And first is to make sure that the natural places of this community are an integral part of our daily lives. Yeah, we could jump in our cars and drive in air-conditioned cocoons to buildings that are air-conditioning and never go outside. That's not good enough. Everyone, especially our young people, have to be able to experience nature in going about their daily lives. And so that was part of building the vision for a green space sense of where the county should be. Second is that the natural processes themselves, natural processes, stream corridors, etc., are visible and instructional. And then finally, the water features of our community and waterfronts in particular are cared for and accessible. And I'll show you a few images that help reinforce why water is so important, not just Lake Erie, but water that's throughout the community is an important element of creating a vision. We also identified some principles to shape that approach to green space and the role that nature must play. And first is to restore landscapes that have been destroyed. I'll get into that in a moment. So it's a restoration, a regeneration effort. Also to manage the green spaces we still have. And as we know in this community, we've got really wonderful green spaces. Not just the Emerald Necklace, the 19,000 acres of the metro parks, but lots of other important green spaces. To connect people, residents, to land, water, and culture. That was a big premise. This is not just about ecological stuff. It is overall connecting people to culture and all the other features of the developed county that we are. Balancing man-made and natural, and then finally beautifying neighborhoods and streets, because we are an urban area and that is a big mission. The aesthetic aspect of natural systems is important as well. Well, let's take a look at this image right here. And what we're looking at is 1948 and about 50 years later in 2002. The red areas are the areas that were classified generally as having been developed. So right after World War II, pretty much the city of Cleveland and parts of the first ring suburbs were what we would call developed. And as we look at the area we're talking about here in the watershed, this green area right here is probably the Brookside Park area. And so you can see that even in this watershed, only a certain component of it, the lower Big Creek, really was developed. Otherwise, it was really undeveloped in open space. By 2002, the county, by our estimates, is about 95-97% developed. That's a tricky concept. What does that really mean? What does, you know, develop really mean? Because even as you look at the county, you still can see a lot of that underlying yellow shade, which is undeveloped. And when you start to, you know, sort of zoom in with your telescope down to the landscape from that 30,000 foot level, that satellite level, you can start to see that there are still many important, viable green spaces left in this community. So when we say, you know, 90%, 95% developed, let's not get too frightened. The green stuff that you see there, you hopefully are recognizing as the Emerald Necklace. So let's talk about fundamentals here. If we're going to create this vision and begin to truly understand the structure of the natural systems of this county, we have to go through a little bit of an analysis. And the first is that we have about five major natural features that describe this place that we all inhabit. The first is, of course, Lake Erie. 13th largest body of fresh water on the entire planet. In a world where water, fresh water, potable water, is more valuable than oil, according to the CIA, the Defense Department, in terms of competition for water, fresh water, threat to world stability, and so on and so forth. And so we who are on the shore of this amazing resource, by the way, the Great Lakes in total, the five Great Lakes, comprise 20% of all of the fresh water on the planet. And we who reside on the edge of, you know, the shore of one of these Great Lakes have a very special stewardship responsibility that gets down to this watershed. So let's just start framing the big issues. The second major feature are the three major river valleys that we have in this community. Of course, you recognize the Rocky River Valley, the Cuyahoga River Valley, and the Chagrin River Valley. And there's the attendant tributaries we'll talk about in a minute. But that's, again, a very, very dominant feature of the topography and the way this place operates. Then we have the heights, the eastern heights and the western heights, highest points in Cuyahoga County. Does anyone in the room know where the highest point by elevation in Cuyahoga County is? Anyone? Bob, you don't count. Yes?
I was wondering if it's at Snow Road and State.
You're close. Okay. Everybody assumes that it's like the heights on the east side. You know, they're all those communities are called Shaker Heights, University Heights, Cleveland Heights, and so on. It's not on the east side. It is literally in the western heights, in Broadview Heights, right off of Wallings Road. Highest point in Cuyahoga County. The difference in elevation in Cuyahoga County between the highest point and the lake is about the equivalent of a 90-story building. There's quite a variation. We're not a flat Midwestern area. So we have the heights, and then, just by the by, we're talking about the heights. Putting this into national geologic and landform context, the place in the United States where the, when you start out from the East Coast, from the Atlantic Coast, and go all the way out through the Alleghenies and Adirondacks to the end of the Allegheny Plateau, it ends right here. The heights, when you go up to Cleveland Heights, you know, from the University Circle to the Heights, that's the last piece of the Allegheny Plateau. The beginning of the Great American Prairie starts in Westlake, Ohio. So think about that. These two massive national landforms come in right here. Most residents of the county aren't even aware of that. Then there's some, you know, micro things. There's some north-south things that have happened because of the glaciers and so on. And let's put this area, this geography of the Big Creek watershed into the context so you can see, you know, Big Creek itself. And so as we go through this analysis, we're going to try to keep highlighting where what this is. We talked about other water features, and those are the 25 major tributaries of the three major rivers and Lake Erie. And this map is a little hard to read, but each of these different colors represents a major watershed in Cuyahoga County, of which there are about 25. Many of them, like the Euclid Creek watershed, discharges directly into Lake Erie, and others, like the Chippewa, number 7, discharges into the Cuyahoga, and so on and so forth. So the structure, the physical structure of understanding and working with nature and creating a vision for green space has to begin with these watersheds and their boundaries. And so what we try to accomplish is to have, in each of the 25 tributaries, a local watershed plan. And the Friends of Big Creek are the foundational element of getting together an important watershed plan for this watershed to do riparian zone protection, trail development, stormwater management, and other things. Another feature that we've been emphasizing is the fact that since we do have these elevation differences, we have tremendous view sheds, scenic views. All of you have probably a favorite place in Cuyahoga County as a view shed. View sheds that go out to Lake Erie, downtown, the structures of the downtown district, and so on. And so when we overlay Big Creek, if it comes up fast enough, there it is. There are a couple of, and this is just sort of a generalized scheme, but you have the lower Big Creek Valley and the gorge you know, that will cross over Crow Road Bridge and Full Road Bridge and so on. The gorges down below, terrific views. If you've snuck into those backyards, it's probably something you have. It's an amazing view shed. But even from the high points of these locations are basically in Parma. You know that spot where all those television towers are in Parma? Well, why are they there? Because it's the high point. And when you get up on that high point, you can see Lake Erie. Literally see Lake Erie from Broadview Road as you come, you know, north from, say, Pleasant Valley, and you go down to Ridgewood. You can literally see the lake. You can see the downtown skyline. And if you look to the west across the Channel 3 property, you can see the control tower for Hopkins Airport. Amazing stuff. And so we do have these really classic view sheds. And so for these overlooks, they provide psychological economic benefit, the things that we can see. And by the way, we ought to have public access to the most important view sheds or vantage points in this community. There's a whole series of critical natural areas that are distributed throughout the county. Geologic sites or plant sites, these slopes and so on and so forth. I have been told that in this watershed, the Big Creek watershed, talking about geologic sites, that there are folks who are mining, that folks are mining, kind of part of my dramatic presentation, they're mining shark fossils. The center of the United States, the North American continent, years and thousands of years ago, was a big inland sea. And so shark fossils are being recovered right in this watershed. Pretty cool. Open space, that relates to some of these critical natural features, and so there's some strategies around that. And then, as Bob already mentioned, there's this big issue of trails and a trail network. And what we're looking at on the screen right now is a schematic of what a trail system could look like throughout Cuyahoga County. A trail system that, think of it in terms, the analogy would be an interstate highway system. You've got the main highways that connect the whole community together, and this is what that highway system might look like. The green elements, the green parts of the map, are places where those trail systems or trail pieces already are in place. So we've got already over 110 miles or so, if not more, of off-road, safe, a bike trail down a side street somewhere, but literally off-road main trail system. So think of ourselves in competition with a Portland, a Chicago. What are we competing on? Not just the economy, we're competing on the ability to provide these kind of amenities. That's what the new economics of the 21st century are largely about. And so we have a plan for that. And again, this is just a generalized view of this area, and we'll come back to this theme in a moment. So to wrap up this sort of module of the presentation, and you're getting the short version. Oh, I love talking about this. We identified as a group, as a working group, a number of stretch goals, aggressive goals of what we need to do, so we just don't, you know, do some marginal things and think we've made some progress, but truly, you know, turn up the volume of green space improvements in this county dramatically, including adding 20,000 new acres of protected and managed open space. Doesn't mean it's parkland, but it's protected, could be private hands, but protected and managed open space. For comparison's sake, think about the metro parks. Everything that Metro Parks owns is almost 20,000 acres, so we're going to try to double that as part of our strategy. 330 miles of new trails, in other words, quadruple the miles of those trails to fill in that major network you saw. 20 major scenic overlooks, 25 tributary watershed plans, adding wetlands, creating 5 bird sanctuaries. As a matter of fact, 1 bird sanctuary obviously will be Dyke 14. And already, you know, we're picking those off. Audubon has identified Dyke 14 as an important birding area in IBA. And also, to learn more about our county's features, when we were doing this approach, we realized we didn't know that much about our natural features, even though there's bits and pieces of information. And some more goals are to double the number of community gardens. We were shocked to discover that there are nearly 400 community gardens in Cuyahoga County. That's pretty amazing. The last bullet is the most important one, I think. We're not going to have a viable natural green space system in the county unless we engage everyone, or many, our goal is a half, of the 500,000 property owners, private property owners in Cuyahoga County. That's you and me. On our little lots, or big lot, or corporates, you know, land area, whatever it is, we've got to start to manage our own property in the context of the natural features of the area. We have a lot to learn about that. So, how do we put this together? What we did is we are going to go through a series now of about 5 or 6 slides that show how we can build out of the vision, the elements of the vision I just talked about. Let's start with the central topography. And clearly, as you can see, the blue is the lowest elevation, which is Lake Erie. And as you go higher up, the darker brown are the highest places in the county. So you can, by the way, when we look at this, you can see that the Cuyahoga River Valley is pretty darn dominant as a natural feature. I was telling you about the end of the Allegheny Plateau. There it is. This is the heights that you go up. This is the Rocky River. This is the Chagrin River. And, you know, the heights of Broadview Heights. And what we're looking at in terms of Big Creek is all this. It doesn't come up really well on this map. It'll come up a little bit later because there, Big Creek is not in a deep gorge system, and so it doesn't come up as prominently. But what you see here is Lake Plain, and then the American Prairie starts out here. The other feature I want to point out here is that you see these lines where there's a definite break between one elevation and a higher elevation? Those were receding edges, shorelines of Lake Erie over the eons. So Lake Erie literally came up to here. And so all those communities like Lakewood, they were underwater a long time ago. And it's interesting when we start looking at Big Creek that there's some geological changes that happen because most of the creeks, as you can see, were kind of flowing north. But then Mill Creek, Big Creek, West Creek, they all were going north, and then they all took sharp turns into the Cuyahoga River Valley because of some changes. And that has to do with geological events. Okay, so let's overlay over the basic landform water courses. And you can see how water is everywhere in Cuyahoga County. This isn't Phoenix. Water courses, substantial water courses are everywhere. Existing open space, and that represents the metro parks, municipal. These are formerly, you know, controlled, largely public hands, open spaces, and that's about 8% of the county's land area. Overlaying, projecting into the future, green space corridors. Now, this doesn't mean that everything you see in this bright green is going to be a park. That's not what's intended here. But it's meant to be a corridor where we're going to work more aggressively on maintaining the integrity of important natural functions. Putting on elements of the existing trail network, the 100 or so miles I talked about, those little bits and pieces that you can see in this watershed, in the Big Creek watershed, there's already the element around the zoo, that piece, as well as the part that goes along Big Creek Parkway connecting to the Emerald Necklace and actually crossing over to the Rocky River watershed. So in this area, you've already got a lot of park elements already established. And then adding another layer, which are the proposed major trails, starts to fill in that freeway system I talked about earlier. And then finally, sort of what we call the overall green print, which adds in some of the more minor trails as well. So when you look at this, and this is very much achievable, you look at this and you say, aha, there's structure, it's based on fundamental elements of the place itself, and if we did this, we'd blow every Portland in the United States out of the water. We'd be the green city on the Blue Lake. This is as important in terms of economic development as anything we do with convention centers, casinos, or any of these other ideas that are floating around. This is what will define who we are. And we have that image of being a Rust Belt, don't we? Around the country, the place where the river burned. That's how we're known internationally. And can you imagine if we had a really outstanding, robust, visible, natural system environment here? We would change our image instantaneously. We would no longer be the Rust Belt. We'd be an entirely different place. So when I started out in the beginning saying this is economic development, it truly is. And I'm not going to go through this, but we also converted these generalized ideas into a very specific set of recommendations. This is not the county plan that, you know, you guys are going to have to implement. This is a set of recommendations that we prepared. As a matter of fact, Jim Danick, who's sitting there in the gray shirt, is the guy responsible for most of this work. And these are other examples from specifically the Big Creek area. All right, let's shift gears a little bit now. Let's talk about the Big Creek watershed in the regional green space context. Let's look at the watershed specifically. And first, you have to begin by understanding the Big Creek is a tributary of the Cuyahoga River. It goes right into the Cuyahoga River. And these are the other major watersheds. What I want to leave with you on this slide is the fact that many of these other watersheds, West Creek, you all know about what's happening in West Creek. You know, the newest Metro Parks reservation was just declared back at the end of July, July 21st. Mill Creek has a lot of organized activity around it based on grassroots organizations and local development corporations, primarily Slavic Village in the city of Cleveland and others going out to the suburban communities like Maple Heights and so on. There's a lot of organized activity about developing these creeks, these riparian zones, and so on. Jim White, who's sitting right here with Marie, is seeking funding to get a watershed plan organized around Chippewa Creek, and so forth and so on. The point is that most of these other watersheds already have an organized approach that is driven by groups like this. Grassroots organizations. You all know the story of West Creek Preservation Society or committee or whatever it's called and the work that they accomplished. So there's the watershed, and it's huge. It's one of our larger watersheds, and a lot of, at least six communities involved, Parma Heights, North Royalton, Cleveland, Brooklyn, and so on. Let me talk a little bit, you know, I've talked about these big, you know, countywide things. Let me talk a little bit about what's happening with the Cuyahoga Valley Initiative and the connection of this watershed and this creek and the stream into what is going on in a larger sense with this major dominant feature of the Cuyahoga River. What you're looking at, the red line, is an outline of our project area for the Cuyahoga Valley Initiative. And it starts in Lake Erie, goes through, you know, portions of the community. I'm going to go through this a little bit quicker. This is the Metro Parks area of the Bedford Reservation of Tinkers Creek. And then starting right about over here is the National Park. The National Cuyahoga Valley National Park. If you've been reading The Plain Dealer, you know that they recently published some astounding information on the front page of The Plain Dealer, which is that the Cuyahoga Valley National Park is the third most visited park of the 387 or so parks in the United States of America. So there's the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which extends over a couple of states, about 9 million visitors a year. Then there is the Grand Canyon at 3.4 million visitors a year. And then there's the Cuyahoga Valley National Park at 3.3 million per year. And when we get done with the Towpath Trail and some of these other improvements, the scenic railroad, we will be number two in the country. Because all we have to do is get about another 100,000 folks per year more. We'll be number two. We're going to surpass the Grand Canyon. That's astounding. That's astounding. We have a feature of national significance in this valley. We have, I mentioned already, Lake Erie. We have an abundance of riches here. And the question is, how can we leverage them for the betterment of this community? So that's what you see there as the outline of the area. But beyond that, within that area, let me just take you through quickly some of the features, some of the things that are evolving there, so you begin to understand how important it is that the work that you're doing, and we're so thrilled that you're up and running and organized. Our watchword is that geography or topography is destiny. We're going to try to prove that right here as we look at the Cuyahoga River, the northern section of the Cuyahoga River. There are different places in this Cuyahoga River Valley. The first is what we call the lakefront area. That's, you know, where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is and so on. The part that, you know, at the foot of downtown that basically touches the water of Lake Erie. And then there's the old river channel. If other communities had expansive water, that is the old river channel, they would be overwhelmed how large that river channel is. You can put those 670-foot ore boats, two or three of them, in that channel and they disappear. It is a very large body of water. By the way, right in that channel area is the salt mine, the Cargill salt mine. which today, I'm told, is the largest operating salt mine in the United States of America. We're a mining town. Think about that. The salt dome that is under Lake Erie goes out to Canada, out to Detroit. We've got hundreds of years of salt under Lake Erie. It's an amazing thing. And if you've ever had a chance to do that tour, it's amazing. You go down a mine shaft that is as deep as the terminal tower is tall, and you go a couple miles out under Lake Erie, and you're underneath all that water and stuff. It's pretty cool. And by the way, the vehicles that are in that salt mine don't have a speck of rust on them. The scientists in the room will know the answer to why that is. It actually has to do with low humidity. It's very dry down there. Then there's the Oxbow section, the section we call the flats. You know, all that entertainment district and so on, if you put it downtown, Tower City and so on. Then an area that we are calling Tree Gate, south of downtown, but just north of I-490, is that kind of transition zone with those big coil storage tanks, the place of Rockefeller's refinery number one. You know, the global petroleum revolution began right here in Cleveland, Ohio. John D. Rockefeller at one point controlled, 90% of the country's or the world's refining capacity. Thank you, world's refining capacity, right here. Think about that as a visitor destination. Wow. The Industrial Valley, the big open floodplain. That's the reason the steel mills were there, where the valley widens out to over almost 2 miles. One company in that area, ISG, now Middle Steel, occupies 1,200 acres. There are a lot of farmers in Ohio that like to have 1,200 acres. And that's just one company in this big industrial valley. Then there's what we call the reservation, which is the part where the Canale Reservation is. So basically, from Big Creek, this is Big Creek right here, you are at the point that is just south of the big industrial valley, down at Harvard Road, right, where Big Creek enters into the Cuyahoga. And then the backlands and the narrower valley that was the reason why this new 300-acre Canalway Reservation, Metro Parks Reservation, was constructed. The backlands of Alcoa, formerly American Steel and Wire, and so on and so forth. The BP tank farm over in Bradley Road. So, you know, that's a very dynamic feature. The Cloverleaf area, if you go to the Cinemark Theater, you know where that is. That's that, again, that big open area. It has tremendous opportunities to connect to the employment center at Rockside Road and I-480. And then finally, the National Park. But here's the key point. Every place, there is a transition zone between these very unique, different, authentic places in this placemaking structure of the Cuyahoga Valley. There are these transition zones where the two different places come together. And just like in nature, where you have two ecological communities or populations, they come together. That zone where they come together is the most vibrant, vital, diverse place that you have. And the same is true of our development as well. When you have a transition point between two different places, what a great opportunity for doing amazing things. And guess what? Big Creek comes in at one of those transition zones at the Harvard node. What you do upstream will be critical to what happens in the Cuyahoga River Valley directly. So, I mean, some of these pictures already are, I saw on the back wall of the room. Again, this is not a detailed analysis of your watershed, but just to kind of walk through very quickly, and I actually should ask George to comment on this, because George Kanner, who's with the City Planning Commission, has been a very active change agent in this area to make some of the important changes that have been happening in the lower Big Creek Valley. So, as we know, we start out, here's Harvard Road, the existing towpath trail, and where Big Creek enters into the Cuyahoga River. You know, there's the old Harshaw Chemical site. You know the Harshaw Chemical site right at old Harvard and Jennings? I am told that uranium was processed for the two bombs that were dropped on Japan at the end of World War II were processed right here at Harvard Road. I've heard stories of the old Austin Powder Facility. So we just celebrated the 60th anniversary of victory over Japan. Well, that victory came because uranium was processed right here. Pretty special place. And that's just one featurette. You know, we could talk about lots of other places. And so, you know, you guys know the geography going up and then picking up the existing trail right over here at the Metro Parks as well. So there's been an effort to try to connect Lower Big Creek, address some of the issues of junkyards and other problems so that we can connect to this towpath trail, the 110-mile towpath trail, when it's eventually finished soon, directly to the zoo and the rainforest and so on. I'm told by the Metro Parks folks that when I asked Vern Hartberg, the director of the Metro Parks, how many rainforest-type facilities are there in the country? He said, four. One of them is right here in your river valley, your stream valley. Amazing. And then, you know, the trail goes through Brookside Park, and I'm told this is called the Kingdom. I want to know why that is. Somebody's going to have to tell me that.
The 70s.
From the 70s? Well, I want to hear the story about that. Well, we can get into that. And then, of course, the Oxbow. I'm learning these things, and I'm getting very familiar with your geography here. And then as we make the turn from I-71, you know, Big Creek, and then Stickney Creek that splits off and so on. So as we look at the aerial photography and we see the density of housing, we still notice that there are very large areas of open space. Remember I talked in the beginning about 97% developed, and there's still, when you really get down to it at the micro level, there's a lot of really good, viable, beautiful natural areas still left, where we can create the kinds of habitats and the other things we have to do to really make nature operate the way we think it should. And then, of course, as we go down further to I-480, you know, the whole thing with Walmart and Sam's Club and what we see there, many opportunities. And then ultimately, when we get into the Big Creek Reservation of Metro Parks, south of Walmart and Sam's Club, you know, there's so many other, it changes its focus and what it looks and how it operates as well. So there's scattered, my point here is that there's scattered opportunities and bits and pieces, but with an overall watershed approach, with a plan, with a nurturing, a cultivation, a stewardship of this creek, amazing, amazing things can result, as we've seen already demonstrated in some of the other watersheds. And so to achieve the plan, the big green space plan, which, you know, we started with in the beginning, it's going to take what we term incremental transformation. Now, that may sound like an oxymoron, right? You know, but transformations, big changes, can happen with incremental steps. It doesn't have to be all at once, with big dollars, you know, all that other stuff. We can make, if we have a plan, if we have a commitment, if we have a sustained effort, we can make those changes. And that's what this is about. We also need capacity to create this green infrastructure. We need coordination or management. We need financial and other resources. And we need expertise. We need technical and other expertise. But here's the most important part. You know, I'm going to jump directly down to the bottom here, but it's about partnerships, it's networking, it's putting meeting together lots of, you know, opportunities that are based on numerous organizations working across agencies, public agencies, nonprofit, private folks, working across organizational boundaries, across technical disciplines. The engineers have got to talk to the biologists, and most important, grassroots stewardship. When we were doing this plan, this vision thing for the green space stuff, one of the successful Mill Creek area representatives said, you know, this is how we've operated. We started with the grassroots, we did what we could, but at some point you have to partner with some more capable capacity. And they partnered with the Metro Parks. And so today, in that watershed, you've got, what 4 years ago was a place you had to crawl through the woods and hang on for dear life, is the Mill Creek Falls, the tallest waterfall in Cuyahoga County. Today, there's a trail that connects it to Garfield Park that the Metro Parks provided. There is a trail that is now going to be constructed from Mill Creek Falls, which is phenomenal. If you've not been there, it is unbelievable. of the gorge that you see and so on. It blows Chagrin Falls away, in my opinion, by a long shot. But there will be a trail that will connect the falls all the way to the towpath down at Canal Road. So Mill Creek and West Creek come together at the Cuyahoga River at a very important place. And that happened because that community group, the LDC, Local Development Corporation, partnered with Metro Parks. Or you could partner with the Regional Sewer District. Or you can partner with the county. But at some point, you've got to have that mixture to take you to that transformation, but doing it incrementally. So, as we look, just to wrap up, as we look at some images of the place, in any place, this watershed, your communities, they're made up of, you know, the people that have been here, the geologic, natural history, and this place has amazing history. I just learned this recently. As you look at that picture on the bottom, I'm told that in the beginning of the 1900s, when we still had amateur baseball, we didn't have all those problems with free agency and all those other things, that regularly 7,000-10,000 people would show up at Brookside Park to watch the games. And when there were special games, they got 80 to over 100,000 people that showed up for those baseball games. I mean, to me, you guys all know this, but to me that is like, wow, there isn't a baseball stadium in America that's close to that capacity. You know, these wonderful, you know, mega baseball stadiums we've built all over the country. And that was all in Brookside Park and other big major features. So, you know, natural stadium, amazing concept. And other features, and I want to put this up about Brookside Park particularly because our theme tonight was nature, open space, and so on. I just want to point out that to a large degree, we migrated from the early part when the Brookside Park was developed, which was a kind of English garden, you know, well-designed, you know, sort of Frederick Law Olmsted kind of a design, very controlled kind of thing, to a more natural place. We're not building a lot of parks that look like this anymore. We're now just allowing nature to express itself and trying to develop a relationship with nature, you know, in a contemporary sense. So, with that, I'm going to leave this image on the screen, and let's have a dialogue. Let's talk about what the opportunities are here. If you have any questions about the relationship of this watershed to the bigger picture pieces that are going on around you, that this is within a context. So, as you begin the work of the Friends of Bay Creek, you don't have to feel that you're sort of in isolation, you got to develop your own plan. There's a whole underpinning. There are resources out there. There are models, best practices. There are people who desperately want to help you. So let's get about the work of making this, you know, one of those 25 watersheds so we can say, yes, this the Big Creek area is a leader in Cuyahoga County in doing watershed stewardship. So with that, why don't we sort of see if anyone has any comments, questions, observations? Yes, sir.
What about water quality? And who tests the water? Where can we get it tested? I mean, if you want animals and birds and fish, you've got to have good water. And
right.
Some of the water that comes down doesn't lose
it. Exactly. Currently, not just Big Creek, but a lot of the other streams in this area are what are classified as urban streams. And the water quality is not the greatest. We understand that. So there has to be a program that starts to address in a meaningful way how we even start improving water quality. And that means you've got to measure it. You've got to test it. You've got to figure out, you know, where contact isn't a smart thing for us or for our pets or anybody with this water. And so we have to begin to start to do that. Now, there are agencies out there, like some of the regulatory agencies, like Ohio EPA, the Metro Parks, the Regional Sewer District, and other agencies have major programs underway, especially the Regional Sewer District, because of these requirements for stormwater management at the federal level that are now being passed down to the local level. There's going to be a lot more attention to not just stormwater as a flood problem, as a water quantity problem. It's now going to, I think I'm like President Bush with this gesture, I just realized that. But there's also the issue of water quality. The old paradigm was, urban streams, forget them. You can't make them better, you know, forget it. Well, in West Creek, where West Creek is going to discharge into the Cuyahoga, there is a project already beginning to invest $3.5 million in stream restoration at the lower West Creek. $3.5 million, because we think we're learning a lot more, we're figuring out how to do this better. And over time, with, again, careful cultivation and application of technical expertise, we are going to be able to incrementally improve water quality to the point where, again, as I look around the room, I'll bet you there are folks in this room that used to swim and fish in the Big Creek. I've been told that was, a common thing to do some years ago, where the county wasn't as developed as it was. So that, we're never going to have, a Montana trout stream, even though steelhead trout exist in the Cuyahoga River. As a matter of fact, I'm told that the service workers at Cuyahoga Heights, they get Bubachi Park down there off of Canal and 71st Street. When you have a spring flood, I understand the service workers get their fishing rods out behind the service garage and fish for steelhead trout. Jim White's here. Jim's the federal river navigator and the American Heritage representative in the area. And Jim knows a lot more about water quality and what we have to do to improve that. As a matter of fact, Jim, if you've got some observations, now's a good time to offer up, the sort of sense of water quality and its relationship to watershed stewardship.
Paul, thank you. There were a couple of comments you made in your presentation about engaging the neighborhoods. When you have an urban creek, that means you have a lot of urban land uses and a lot of urban landowners. And we have however many people there are in the watershed, is probably a third of those represent households. And all of those need to take stewardship of their own land in terms of how they treat their lawns, how they pick up after their dogs, how they change their car oil, all those kind of things, because all of that stuff ends up in Big Creek, in the watershed. So part of a group like this is, the support, for the whole Green Plan is to improve personal behavior that has an impact on the watershed. If you backed up to that one picture that showed the creek across the Sam's Club, this is another big issue. If you look at where it says Sam's Club at the bottom half of the picture.
Here's the Sam's Club,
and
here's
the
Walmart.
Freeway,
yeah,
and
here's
you
the railroad track and the freeway.
How much of that is impervious? That's all water that just collects. It used to soak in, now it runs off. And if you know that section of creek, it's very channelized. It's a giant trapezoid concrete or rock lined ditch. There's no improvement to water quality as the water leaves those properties and goes downstream. And so working with some of the landowners in those large shopping centers, redevelopment standards that will add filter strips, buffer strips, better detention of the water, more improvement of the water as it flows through the creek are all ways to improve the water quality as it goes down. So there's a lot of opportunities, and it's one of the reasons that we want to support the incubation, growth, maturity, and success of local tributary groups, because this becomes the mechanism that these little things happen in a tributary basis, whether it's homeowner activity or whether it's new design standards that are adopted by the city councils and those kind of things. But it's a very much an integrated system. And that's why we're such big supporters of the Green Plan, because it provides a big riparian green space corridor around the stream, which will make it work better and make it help clean the water. And ultimately, it'll be our everlasting benefit for the river as well.
Yeah, what we've learned a lot about in the last 20 years is ecological restoration and the power of nature to clean up, problems that we create. And so what we're trying to do is apply a lot more of these new techniques that can do that. And I'm going to, looks like...
No.
I want to just give you a sense of what we're talking about. Every day, almost every day, except around here during the drought season, a very natural, life-giving event happens. Life-giving event, and that's rain. None of us would exist for what more than coming 3 or 4 days, whatever it is, without fresh water. And we get that rainwater, but it comes down because of the environments we've created in these urban areas and elsewhere. It comes down in parking lots, collects the stuff that falls off our cars, the oil, the rubber off the tires, and salt and so on, concentrates it in our parking lots and our sewer systems, storm sewer systems, and it discharges it into streams, which overwhelm the streams in terms of quantity as well as bad stuff, pollution. We know the techniques of building places so that when it rains every day or whenever it rains, that life-giving rainfall doesn't destroy life, but enhances life. We know how to build parking lots. We know how to build buildings with green roofs. We know how to do those techniques are known. And across the country, it's routine activity in some communities. So when Jim talks about design standards, and that's a big responsibility of the planning commissions, the city, the county, municipal, and so on, to really drill into our planning and zoning codes, because there's a myth out there that this green building or high-performance building, rain roofs, all these other features, are really more expensive than traditional stuff we've been doing. And that may have been true about 5 or 10 years ago, but that gap is absolutely close to being insignificant. So, it's not that we should be hopeless, because as I said in the past, these urban streams were by the professionals, the water quality professionals, the people that ran these big sewer districts, said, give up. Don't even try. Hey, true. This is an amazing time in history, and we should be all part of it. Yes, sir.
If you look at that same picture, Home Depot is on the left of Sam's Club, and about 6 o'clock in the morning a couple weeks ago, the water was coming down the parking lot entrance of Home Depot next to Long John Silver's there. I could have went in a canoe and not touched bottom, and it flooded the whole side of Brook Park. And I'm looking at that, and there's a retention pond right out front.
Yes.
And I went by it, and there's no, that's down below that.
Yeah.
But it's there's a curb around it. So the water going in the retention pond is what's raining in it. It's like the parking lot is directed down the driveway. And I know they put that in, there's a code for all that, but who do you contact to say, hey, this isn't right, it's not working right, or it's not doing anything. It's just joke.
I would definitely go to the agency that has the responsibility for that, which is the municipalities, whatever municipality that you've observed something, because it is the municipal engineer, it is the building code, it is the inspection of projects when they're built, making sure that they're maintained. That's where the responsibility, the legal authority, legal responsibility resides. Unless it's a bigger pollution issue, then I'd pick up the phone and call the Ohio EPA. If there's a spill, a pollution issue, like a spill that you notice, or a burp out of a chimney, or that isn't right, or something, that's what citizens ought to do. There are laws, and they ought to be observed. And by the way, our building codes are written almost minimal. So if you do something right under the building code, it's illegal. But it's also basic stuff. We've got a tradition of trying to reduce the cost of development that historically has left us with situations. I used to be the head of planning and engineering for the county sanitary engineering department in a previous life. And so I was responsible for designs and inspection of sanitary facilities throughout the county in the various places where we operated. And I can tell you that today, I would never endorse the kind of designs that we thought were normal at that time. These detention basins really, they really don't work. And I'm a convert to the fact that if we build constructed wetlands, for example, they have the power to absorb much more water, maintain them in appropriate places, not all these reconstructed wetlands. Some are built in the wrong places and they don't work. But if done with technical expertise, we can develop natural systems like constructed wetlands that don't have mosquitoes and all those myths that are out there, if they're healthy ecosystems, and be able to do all that stuff when it rains, to grab the runoff, clean it, detain it, prevent flooding, and so on. So the immediate short-term thing is if there's a problem, what's out there, you call your city, and the longer-term problem is how do we redo the codes and do it a different, better way.
Paul, could I add some comments to this?
Sure.
Who was it that asked about environmental questions? As a group, we're doing a number of things already. We've been posting these hikes, and Paul pointed out the Oxbow area. We're looking now and encouraging Brooklyn officials to preserve that green space there. And we're talking, like Paul's talking about wetland preservation. We're talking, maybe we could look at coursing the creek back through that old course that made that Oxbow area. when we look at this area, okay. Looking at that area, the Walmart Sam's Club area, we're going to be going next week with some Brooklyn officials and some county planners to look at this area between Walmart Sam's Club. We understand now that we've got, what, $1.6 million dedicated to study the I-480 interchange. We want to make sure that public access is allowable under there. We want to make sure that any redesign of those ramps, that it considers the environmental impacts to the stream there. Between Walmart and Sam's Club, we're going to be looking at and advocating for public access through there, you know, provide an opportunity for Walmart to look good, you know. Like Paul talked about, you know, years ago, the agencies didn't look too positively on restoring the creeks. I mean, it was like, well, what's the sense to it? But now we see the importance, and before it's too late, in this area in particular, the Cascade Crossing, just below the 480 there.
Yeah, because you've got the trail that comes up Big Creek
right.
Parkway. It ends up here at the parking lot, and something could be done here.
Right on the east side of the creek there near Walmart.
Exactly.
There's potential for access there. Then there's some vacant properties south of the Cascade Crossing and north of 480 that we may be able to preserve and allow access to get, so people don't have to go out on Tiedemann Road. We're also going to look at, we're talking with Councilman Coyne and we have Councilwoman Pucci that are both on our advisory committee. There's others here I'll have to point out I forgot to do. That we're going to be looking at possibly a riparian setback before it's too late. Now, with Cascade Crossings, there's already so much development there with those parking lots. That's going to be tough, but it's not, you know, nationally, regionally, I mean, the attitudes towards this is changing, so there's still a chance. George, go ahead.
Yeah, one of the issues that I think people kind of hit on and kind of danced around a little bit, but it's very important, is you notice that most creeks, and a good example of that is the area north of Biddulph on the Big Creek, they have natural oxbows. You know, the river kind of follows the contours of the landform that it flows through. If you go north of Memphis, though, along 71, you'll notice that they amended that by, they actually took the oxbows out and channelized the stream. And that, you know, in times of high, you know, rains, coupled with all the impervious development, all the parking lots, all the roofs, all the suburban development to the south, what that does is it increases the velocity of the flow through the stream. It really pushes the water through, it scours it, and where that channelization kind of ends, actually through the zoo, it's channelized underground, you don't even see it, but when you get down to the area around Harvard and Jennings, particularly if we had Buzz Zalesnik here, he would tell you stories, and he has pictures of the bar right at the Harvard and Jennings, where when they get a huge rain, they literally flood several feet deep in the bar, because all that water literally flows into that little outlet into the Cuyahoga, which actually approaches the Cuyahoga, flowing in somewhat of the wrong direction. It flows into the downward flow of the Cuyahoga. The Cuyahoga is flowing from south to north, and the Big Creek intercepts it kind of in an upward fashion, an upstream fashion. And all that, coupled with what I just described, creates a tremendous flooding problem in that portion of the creek. And it happens several times a year, coupled with debris and everything that's in there. So that's one thing, too. Bob pointed out trying to get those meanders back in and possibly putting it in that oxbow area. That's obviously a long-term solution, but it's very important to try and retain the normal and natural state of the river.
One thing we want to do is potentially try to create a watershed action plan that other groups have done. But besides that, we need people such as yourself to be more involved with our group. Check out our website, keep coming to the meetings, become a member once we get that set up. There's a lot of potential that, you know, that Jim will tell you, of the 12 tributaries of Lower Big Creek, the most severely impacted of those 12 is, but the only one listed in a severe condition is Big Creek. A lot of potential.
To Bob, I know Jim and I have talked about this before, the massive parking lots with all the concrete causing problems. And we do have Sam's and Walmart next to each other, with a lot of parking space.